Listen, we're going to have a great Sunday. I want you to take some good notes today. I want you to pay close attention. I want you to be ready to receive. I believe God is going to speak through Bishop Armstrong. He's going to speak to us. Amen. So let's prepare ourselves for what God is going to say. How many of you need to hear from God today? Amen. You see that? Come and bless us, my friend.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, he just told me how far I can go, but now my little watch is, I stopped working, so I don't even know what time it is. So I may have to look all back there. That's good. Yeah. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm glad to be here this morning. It's a joy and a privilege, and I was happy for those of you that were with us on Wednesday, and God gave us a wonderful time. Amen. I will just mention quickly about something I mentioned Wednesday, because I don't want to take any time for this morning's message. I had mentioned that I will be having a very great conference and crusade and medical camp in Congo. And I explained why. And the enemy had planned to get me to heaven sooner than I need to go. See, we preach about heaven, and of course I want to go to heaven. How many want to be in heaven one day? Amen. But not right now, you know, kind of thing. The enemy tried to get me there sooner. And, well, the Lord, by his grace, and I think from that time in the month of April and August, this season, I have learned to not only, I had always loved the Holy Spirit and the angels of God, but I think I believe in it more. I have seen more of the practical workings of the Holy Spirit and his angels when he commands them about my security, my care. Amen. I saw it in a way you may not have experienced what I did, but I'm telling you, knowing that some people are planning to kill you, cut you into pieces, and that is not just something you are thinking about, it's something that you know they are planning to do. It's really a very interesting feeling. But I had always thought I'd be very scared, but like I told you on Wednesday, when that happened, I realized that God gives you grace for the moment. There is no time that the Lord is not with us. The scripture promises the peace that passes all understanding. The scripture promises joy unspeakable and full of glory. And you know what? Usually when you are in the toughest of times, when situations are not exactly what you'd expect, that's when God comes in a big way. When sin abounds, the grace of God abounds even more. And that's what happened to me in Congo. The enemy wanted to destroy my life, but by the grace of God, I was able to come through. And so what I have done and what I planned immediately is that I want to go back to the same country, the same place, and do one of the greatest crusades, and I am believing to be our greatest evangelistic crusade in our lives. I want to make it real big, and I want you to pray for it, that the Lord will bring in the resources, because we will need people to go with me. I'm banking on organizing at least to go with about 100 missionaries, both from Africa and from America. We want to be about 100 of us, and we'll do a five-day crusade in a stadium. We have already rented it. They don't have such a big stadium in that town, but they have at least that can seat 5,000. Amen. So we want to fill that stadium. And we also want to be able to do a pastor's conference for several hundreds of those pastors in that city. We want to feed them a lunch every day for those 5 days. And we'll have a graduation for our Bible school student. And we will also have a medical camp. So please start praying. We are trying to get nurses and doctors to travel with me on that time. We are giving us enough time. It's not this coming year, it's the year after. 2021, May. So please put it in your diary so that you can pray. That is the best you can do. Funding is number two, but prayer is number one. Interceding and breaking the strongholds. Amen. People don't realize the value of prayer. I'm telling you, you can have all the money you have in the world, but that will not continue unless there is a lot of prayer and intercession. And one time, one guy from India was given a lot of money from somewhere in America. He came and held a very, very big crusade in my country because of the money. The money was able to draw our attention. I mean, he was able to put on radio, television, daily. I mean, everywhere there was just, this man is coming. But there was not much prayer. And since I have been in ministry for such a long time, I could tell the difference between the abiding presence and the continuity of that ministry in my country compared to other little ministries that had prayer. Those little ministries that had prayer are still continuing with a lot of power while we don't hear about that guy anymore. So money is good, but not enough. Amen? It's a fantastic thing, and we need that. The pastor was talking, Pastor Drew was talking about the balance this morning to the leaders of the need to be balanced. And I saw that need with that great guy because I was on his platform because some of us leading preachers from Kenya were invited on his platform. So I was on his platform, and you could not see the ground for almost 200 yards every other way. You couldn't see the floor because of people. You only saw black heads. There was nothing to see. I mean, everywhere you turned around, there was just thousands. I remember we were probably, because I remember one time I had to lead in prayer, and I think every place I go, I couldn't see anything except the heads of people, thousands of them, because they had done a lot of publicity. Publicity can do things, but it will not last long. It's good. But I have also seen ministries that have prayer that were there when I was a little boy, and they're still going on because somebody was praying. Amen. So that's why I'm sharing, even before I start sharing here, about the word that please, one of the things we are asking people to do is to intercede for Congo. That's the country, the Democratic Republic of the Congo. And don't be deceived about the word democracy. There is not much democracy in Congo. But it's called the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Please pray. That country, if there is a country that has corruption everywhere, every stratum, that's a country. But I believe God can still move in that country. Amen. Wonderful people, though. Wonderful people. The nation, the leadership may be corrupt and everything, but they are just wonderful people. And the good thing is they are responding to the gospel very powerfully. So please remember to pray for them. Pray for the family also that lost their mother and father while I was there. That was one of the greatest hits that we received from the enemy. And that's why I'm going back. I'm telling the enemy, no, you will not have the final punch. I'm going to punch you also in a big way. Amen. So we are going back there to have a big crusade, a big pastor's conference, a medical camp, and a graduation. And I know one of the things why the enemy is fighting us is because this year we graduated the 800th pastor. You know, in 6 years we have graduated over 800 preachers from our two-year program. Amen. So already this last year, in our graduation, which started in Kenya, then I went to Rwanda, then I went to Burundi, then I went to Congo. And in Congo, we had 5 graduations because of the Congo is one of the largest countries in Africa. So because of that, we graduated just this last 1 year, 400 preachers. But plus the others we had graduated before is over 800. And that's really wonderful. You also pray for our training program because in the next 2 to 3 years, we have graduated another 350. And that, of course, brings it to about 1150, amen, of preachers that will be preaching all over in Africa and India, where we also have some ministries. So please keep praying. I was just sharing with the pastor this morning, and I said one of my greatest problem is really is like a good problem because that the work is growing so fast, so intense, wherever, in several countries. Now we are in 9 countries, and God is still helping us to have the work. But of course, that being the leader of that great work, then it becomes a very overwhelming ministry. But I only know that the only way I can do it is to know that some of you are backing me in prayer as I travel. Amen. And I want you to know that I really, really, really appreciate your prayers for me. I'm going to read two texts of the scriptures, and probably you have them here because they even have my notes there. So you'll be getting to see some of the whole outline as I go to make it easier for you, because I think you have it projected here. So can we stand and read two texts of the scripture? The first one is in the book of Joel, chapter 2. And this is a very well-known verse of scripture. Joel. Chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. And if you have any of the Bibles with headings, probably yours will say God's Spirit poured or promised to the people. This is a verse that all of you, if you have grown in any place with where they teach about the Holy Spirit, it's a verse that probably you already know. And it shall come to pass afterward. And before I go on, let me say this, and please say this after me. That afterward means now. Let's say it together. That afterward means now. Amen. Because this was spoken then, but that afterwards means exactly where you and I are. And it began on the day of Pentecost, so it is in the now. It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. That flesh here means and all human beings. Your sons and your daughters. There's no discrimination here, both male and female. They are both. Sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. So there's even hope for us who are in our 60s and 70s. We'll not be left behind. I just celebrated my 63rd birthday a few weeks ago. So even for the old men, she shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. Hallelujah. Go on to the New Testament and go to the book of Acts, chapter 3. We'll read only one verse. There are so many other verses that I'll quote along, and so you'll get to write them as we go along. This verse says here in Acts 3, verse 19, the book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 19. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing. Somebody say times of refreshing. Times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Times of refreshing. Father, in Jesus' holy name, we thank you because of the promise that as we repent and be converted, you will send times of refreshing. We long for times of refreshing. We long for time when your Spirit moves. We long for times that the world and the enemy cannot stand it because the Spirit will still move. Times of refreshing. Let it be now. Let it be in our day, and teach us to love you and to serve you wholeheartedly, and to long for times of refreshing. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. 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 Let's be seated, please. You know, I love the word revival. I was saved in a time of revival, and if you have experienced a time when the Holy Spirit is moving, and they are different, and I know I've spoken in this church before, so most likely some of the things I will mention I've said before. When we talk of revival, I am not talking about something that a church decides we are going to have a 3 days when we'll sing a few songs, a little bit more than normal, and shout a little bit louder, and then something that we plan. That's not bad, and it can be revival, but sometimes it's something we do. We plan it. But when the Holy Spirit moves, after times of prayer, people have spent time, and I would say some of the things that go before revival. After people have prayed and fasted and waited upon the Lord and repented, sometimes the Lord will literally send a season. When he says times, of course, he's not saying just one day. Times of refreshing, when you literally sense his power, his glory, and people get saved in big ways. And usually it's not 1 day or 2 days. God sends this in a big season. And he has done that. Let me give a good example. Some missionaries came to Africa in the way in the 1940s, and so on, 30s, 40s. And they were praying and praying and praying for God to visit. For a season, they were able to plant their denominational evangelical churches and a few Pentecostal churches, but people would be saved in, you know, little numbers, two, three people, 10 people here and so on. And that was happening. And all at once, the heavens broke. And the revivals, now it was not a few people being saved, they were being saved in the thousands. And it began around 1947 and continued for the next 30 years. That's what I'm talking about. It was not something that was three days revival. It began around 1947 and went for the next 30 years until around my time when I was a young fellow. That was about 35 years after that first day of the revival. And that revival came to my village and I got saved in 1970. So when I'm talking about revival, I'm not just talking about something that was planned by a committee somewhere. We are now going to have revival. No, I'm talking about when God himself, after a lot of prayer and waiting upon the Lord and believing God for some breakthrough, he comes and breaks through. Not for a moment, but sometimes for a long time. That has happened in several places around the world. It happened in 1970, I remember it happened in the Indonesian revival islands, where again the Lord broke through, and for the next 10, 20 years, there was a mighty move of the Holy Spirit. It has happened many, many, many other times. And I know earlier, a few months ago when I was here, I talked about how one time I missed revival. It was happening, but it came in a color I didn't expect. Listen to me. Revivals don't come the same way. Sometimes they come in ways we don't. And usually it breaks through and comes almost in the things we have not been doing. You know, you feel like we don't do things this way. Almost every revival has come, it always comes and does things the way people are not used to. There was a revival here in about 200 years ago in America called the Great Awakening. Go and read about it. The times of Jonathan Edwards. And what would happen is, you know, people are used to sitting like we are sitting here and singing in a particular way, but God would interrupt that and make things different. Like in the case of Jonathan Edwards, he was just preaching a message, and he was not even a very charismatic kind of a preacher. He used to stand on his pulpit like this and read his message, every word. So he was not even moving or anything. He was not the kind of person you thought, oh, wow. But because they had prayed a lot, one time the glory of God fell in that local congregation and people thought like they were falling into hell and they started screaming and holding on to the pillars of the church. Literally. Screaming and holding on to the pillars and crying, and that revival broke across America. It's called the Great Awakening. Amen. Revival, revival, revival. So if you are wondering what I'm talking about this morning, I'm talking about a message I'm calling Unlocking the Floodgates of Revival. Unlocking the Floodgates of Revival. Now, there has been a few prophecies, and I This is, if you are here the last time I spoke, not Wednesday, but the other time I spoke about 8 months ago here, and there's an example I used, and I'm going to use it this morning. About 100 years from where we are right now, several people gave prophecies about our time and our season. That's why I say that when he says about the time that's coming, it's in the now. And those five people are big names in the charismatic Pentecostal world. And I'll mention them in a moment here. Each of them agreed that around this season that you and I are alive, something spectacular will happen. They did not even say might happen. They said will happen. All of them. And let me say some of the things they said, and then I'll give you their names. They say that around the time you and I are living, which I will choose this morning to call them the Kairos moment of God. Let's say together, the Kairos moment of God. And I'll explain. I don't know why, I have studied the Bible. Believe you me, I've read the Bible through and through. I try to read the Bible through at least once per year. This year I'm almost through finishing it for this year. And so I've read the Bible 10, 15 times through. But there are times, I mean, even with all that reading, I don't know why God in his greatness chooses sometimes to move more than others. But I have an idea that I'm going to share a little bit of what I think this morning. Amen? We don't have all that the knowledge of why, because God will always be bigger than our little minds. Amen? The time you just think you knew him, you realize, my goodness, I didn't know much of him. I'm going to be celebrating 50 years of being in the Lord next year. I got saved when I was 14 years old in 1970. So next year I'm celebrating 50 years in Jesus Christ. And it's been a wonderful journey with the Lord. I don't have the time. Again, that's a long. Somebody was telling me recently, you need to write your testimony in a book. And I'll try and do that, because there's a lot of funny stories everywhere. By the grace of God, the Lord has saved me from all kinds of things, including what happened this year, how he saved me from being chopped with a machete, and how God, by his grace, he delivered me, how one time I was in a car, under a car, trying to think something was wrong with my vehicle, and had only my wife with me to get out of the vehicle, get inside the car, and within, just at the gate, right where this road is, there was a huge lion right there. So I would have become dinner for that. And God has been so, 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 so faithful. But anyway, in all these years, as I've been serving the Lord, there are things that I would not fully understand. I understand his love, his mercy, his grace, but not in the depth I would like to know. When the pastor was giving the announcements about, you know, the greatness of God and all that, I was sitting there and thinking, like, my goodness, I need to seek the Lord more, because 50 years is so many years that I should be walking on water. You know what I'm talking about? Because when you think about the promises of God and what God says about what we should become as we abide in the vine, literally, 50 years is a long time. And so I was just repenting of my sins right there, saying, God, help me. As Armstrong checked, not you, me, this preacher right here. Because sometimes we can miss the Kairos moment of God. Let me give you a little example. And I may have given it last year when I was here. I may not have given, I don't know. I went to school not far from here, and that's how I met your pastor almost 40 years ago. I was in Vanguard University doing my graduate work, 1984-85. That's how I met your pastor. That's a long time. We've been friends that long. Sheila was nowhere. Possibly in his father's mind. Long time. And praying that the Lord will use me and that, and I was a young fellow. And I remember, my wife came, and I couldn't bring her to California because life, even then, California was way expensive than Pennsylvania in 1984-85. So what I did, I got her a little school in Pennsylvania that was charging only $300 per year $300. And by the way, they have not gone much more. They charge $3,000 today, which is not much again for a whole year of school. Yeah, if you want to look at it up, it's called Free Gospel Bible Institute. And I like their name, free, because it's almost free. A whole year, even now, is only $3,000 to go to that school and get food, education, and everything. 1 year. Anyway, my wife came there, and I was here in California. So my wife was in Pennsylvania. I was in California, and our one and a half year old boy was in Ohio. So the three members of the family were each in a different state, including a boy who did not know English and is in an African-American home, my son. So he's speaking to them in Swahili, and they're answering in English, so you can imagine. But anyway, it's a long story. That's another story. That's why I said I have a story to write about my life. But while I was here and met Pastor Drew, we were not pastors. Well, I had preached for some even then, but I was younger, in my late 20s. And I met a young lady in my class. And she and her new husband, they were young. They were about the same age with me. I'm actually only 1 year older than her. So we graduated together. Me, I had not finished my thesis for my master's degree, but I was given permission to go through the graduation line because I had finished my classwork to go out and finish my thesis out of school. Why? Because I was working so fast to join my family back east. So I worked so hard, I did a lot, I did better than almost all the classmates so that I could finish up and graduate with them. In 1985 May, I went back east. And to do my, and that's when how we left each other. We didn't even know where we were with each other. I mean, each of us was their own way for the next 20 years. Anyway, I went back east, and this lady who graduated with me, she went her way. She went to Africa, and for a time as a missionary, they had a hard time. Her husband had malaria. Malaria is terrible, especially to Americans. You say you tell me whether it's selective, I don't know. But malaria does not kill many Africans, but any Westerners, when they get that, they get real sick. So she was getting malaria. The children were having a hard time, and she was frustrated. She was very frustrated. In the meantime, Armstrong Chege had gone back to Kenya, had started climbing up the denominational ladder, was pastor, then presbyter, then district superintendent. That's a big title in the Assemblies of God. So here Armstrong was had a big car, driving a big Isuzu Trooper, has my own house fully paid for in Nairobi. I'm having a good time. Let me tell you, most of the times people who don't experience revival are in that state. They are settled, they are satisfied with the mediocre or with whatever is happening. And they are not sinners. This is why I'm sharing this morning. Those kind of people are not necessarily sinners. They are not prostitutes. They are not drunkards. They go to church like you this morning, but they are very settled and satisfied. You can miss out on God by just being satisfied and sitting in your church and feeling good. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. It is possible to be a believer. You are saved and probably speaking in tongues and all that, but you are not growing. That was Armstrong Chege. I was happy. I was a district superintendent. I'm busy in ministry. I'm doing all kinds of things, busy in the ministry. How many know that you can be busy in the ministry, but you are busy by yourself? Because you're not seeking the Lord. You're just satisfied to be doing whatever everybody is doing in ministry. I'm talking about unlocking the floodgates of revival. You can remain like so and never go anywhere. And that was me. Well, this other little girl was hungering. She was like, oh my goodness, what can I do? Well, she had done almost like me because she had gone on with the academics and gotten her PhD. And me, later on, I came to Asbury Seminary and got my Doctor of Ministry. So all of us were like, wow, you know, in academics and everything else. But me, I was settled. I was happy in my district superintendency and all that. But here was a lady that was longing for God. So she heard that there was a big revival in Toronto. She heard about it. I heard about it. But there was a bad reputation about that revival. It used to say that they made a lot of noise. And not only did they make a lot of noise, they would fall to the ground and roll down. And some of the newspapers would say that they are barking like dogs. And I'm thinking that's not for me. Because, you know, when you are a sophisticated Assembly of God executive, you don't go rolling down. You don't want to be a holy Laura. So I said, that's not for me. That's not for Armstrong Chege. I was not interested. And I, if anything, I'm thinking this is something to avoid. Anything that is not how we do things. You see what I'm talking about? We don't do things this way. Assembly of God, we are dignified. We are educated. We are organized. So I didn't even do. Now this lady, when she heard about it, she was hungering and thirsting. She went rushing. And when she got there, she did not even walk when they did the invitation for the altar call. She ran. She ran and came and fell to the ground. She said, God, I need you. Lord, I need you. And God baptized her with the glory and the fire from heaven. Me, I was still having a good time in Nairobi. That girl today, her name is Heidi Baker. Almost all of you know about her. She was my classmate, a friend of mine. She's surprised. What I'm saying is, it's not like the Lord has not used me. Because even after that, I founded this ministry. Years later after that, I was able to found the Fountain of Life ministry. And we have now over 400 churches. And God is blessing the work and still growing. I just finished graduating 800 preachers. So the work is growing. And I thank God that he also has now ministered to me in many other ways after that time. But I always wonder what I would have been if I had been hungering and thirsting after righteousness. See, I'm not giving an example of you. I'm giving of this one right here. So that you not say, oh, he pointed me. No, I pointed down this way. That young lady, my classmate, now I have 400 congregations. That's a good number, isn't it? No, she has 4,000 congregations. 10 times more. Because of that one day when I made a different choice and she made another one. She has a whole university in her name. The country that she ministers in Africa, they talk to her as India talks of Mother Teresa. The whole nation, even the sinners, call her mother. The whole nation. Because of one day saying yes to the Holy Spirit. What I'm saying is that you can be left because of some pride and arrogance. You can be left behind and God will continue and do what he was going to do. He would have used you, but because of pride and arrogance and hardness of heart, he will not move. And that was the thing that happened even in the Bible days. When the Pharisees would hear Jesus. And that's why the Lord was so annoyed about the Pharisees and Sadducees. Because he would have used them. But they chose to be spectators. To watch from afar. May God help us this morning. Every one of us. Not to be settled, but to long for more and more and more. There is always more in the kingdom of God. There's more. There's more of the glory of God. There's more of his anointing. There's more if only you can long and be yielded to the Holy Spirit. The prophecies I was talking about were prophesied by these five people. One lady was called Marie Woodworth Eder. You can look in YouTube, you will be able to get her. Marie Woodworth Eder. The other person was Charles Parham. The third person was William Seymour, an African-American, was here in California, the Azusa Street Revival. The other guy that followed soon after them was Smith Wigglesworth, was a mighty, mighty faith healer. And the final one who came much later was Catherine Kuhlman. And all those five agreed that in the season that you and I are living, God is going to come in a very special way. And that the anointing that will happen will be so spectacular that will be bigger than Azusa Street, it will be bigger than the Great Awakening, will even be bigger than the Day of Pentecost. So you are living in the most wonderful time in the history of the world. We are living, Pastor Drew, in the most wonderful time. And another fellow just the other day, not far, his name was Jones, prophesy, he has now gone with the Lord. And the Lord showed him that the breakthrough that's about to happen will bring into the church 1 billion souls. That's one of the most recent prophecies. I'm talking about 5, 6, 7 years ago before our brother Bob Jones went to be with the Lord. He said that the Lord showed him that God is about to break through. Remember, he just spoke recently. Those others spoke years ago. Him, he spoke much later. He said that the Lord has showed him that in the church, God is about to break through with 1 billion souls. Now, if that happens, that means every church will have to have about 3, 4, 5 services. People, they will come from every direction. But I don't think it's if, I think it's when. Because God is about to move and do mighty things. Now, let's see a few things of what then we need to do in preparation for the same. Because I believe it's coming, it's happening, but we need to do something about it. Number one, see, most of the times why we don't experience is because we think we are not good enough. So the first thing is recognize that God loves and accepts you just the way you are. He is not looking for a better people. You are it. I stand here and I will not allow. I was so happy this week with your pastor and a few people talked about not being condemned. Not being condemned. I think I had it on Wednesday. I had it this morning through the pastor. You live in this life realizing that God has no better people than ourselves. You are it. You are the people that God is about to use. Most of the prophecies I mentioned earlier, they all say that when this next revival comes, it will be God will use the unknowns, people without titles. Well, that was emphasized that it will not be for bishops. No, 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 no. It will not be the apostles. It will be God will be using his body, the body of Jesus Christ. He will be using you and me. Everywhere as we yield to the Holy Spirit, the next wave of revival, which I almost speak like Jesus, you speak, is now, is it will be and now is. You remember when he talks about the Holy Spirit? When he says, and now is. Will be, but now is. In other words, about beginning right now. We are that generation. Somebody say, we are that generation that God is going to use. Amen. I don't doubt it. I believe with all my heart that we are in the season, in the Kairos moment of time when God is about to move mightily and touch the nations. And he's preparing us. But we got to first understand he is not waiting for somebody else. It is you and I. Because our salvation is not based on what we have done. Our salvation is based on his grace. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourself is a gift. Is a gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast about it. Hallelujah. It is you and I. Don't allow any judgment, any comparison and contrast that I'm not as good as. No, 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 no. You are a child of the King. It's by the grace of God that we do what we do. This morning I stand here not because of what I can do, but because of the mercy and the grace of God. And every one of you in this morning, it is important. Our brother C.S. Lewis, some of you know he was a great scholar, say, and a father of the faith. He said, though our feelings come and go, God's love for us does not change. It's ever the same. We change. We go through challenges here and there. But the good thing about it is our God is immutable, is changeless. What I call the immutability of God's love, whereby he does not change. So situations around me do change, but I always know that my Father loves me the way I am and is going to use me the way I am. Hallelujah. He's working on me, of course, to make me what he wants to be, but I'm not going to wait until the future. I am going to release myself into his hands to be used of him the way I am. Amen. Look into the people that Jesus picked of the 12 apostles. None looked like the other. Peter was just a rough fisherman. And in even his ways and his way of talking were quite rough and very abrupt. He could like do things quickly. Well, some of the other guys like Matthew were wealthy, business-like people. And so on and so forth. But he used all of them. Hallelujah. Somebody like John was just a young fellow. And God loved him and used him. So all of us may be all that we are with our different personalities. You know, if the church had one personality, it would be crazy. Thank God for our different personalities. Now, some of them, we may not like them, but it doesn't matter. It's not your church. It's his church. He will use us in spite of our personalities. Now, some of them will be quite crazy. For example, I have been going with people to Africa, and I enjoy going with different American friends from different states, you know, to Africa. There was a time I took a medical team from California here, and we went all the way to India with them and so on and so forth. So I've had all that. But one time I took this fellow, and he offended me every single day. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, every day. And not me. Everybody in our team was offended by this guy daily. And he had a way of offending people. I mean, in everything. Like, for example, I get to a city and I tell him, listen, this is not a very good city, so don't go anywhere without us. And we will give you somebody to take you wherever you want to go, shopping and everything else, so that they will help you. They know the language. They know the culture. Don't go. Guess what he will do? We come back and it's nowhere to be seen. And one time he got beaten so bad, I felt like saying, aha! got beaten. Because I told him not to go. He got beaten and they stole some of his stuff. He didn't even tell me. I got to learn later because I was so embarrassed. You know, so the church will have everybody, different personality like that one. And so on and so forth. But the church is not yours, it's his. And some of us will have some rough edges, but thank God for the Holy Spirit. He will work on us. But the important thing I'm emphasizing is here is for you to accept and acknowledge that God loves you in the place you are and that he will make you what he wants you to be. Amen. One of the verses says, in Romans 5:8, God showed his love towards us, or demonstrated his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I love that verse. I love that verse because it says, while we were yet sinners. Because some of us live as so, he loves us, he does good things because we are good people. No, while we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. He loved us. In other words, whatever condition you are, he still loved you. And if he loved you then, he loves you even now that you're in his house. Hallelujah. You are a child of his love. One verse, and I'm not going to read it because of time, is a big section there. In Psalms 139 from verse 14 to 18, and I know that verse, the one that talks about being created fearfully and wonderfully made. That section there says that there's a book in heaven written about you. And he says that that book was written before you were born. Everything about you was recorded in heaven. In other words, there's a book in heaven. You know, when I was raised in two denominations. First, I was in a Baptist church. I call it Baptist, but it's called African Land Church. Was Baptistic. Yeah, even the pastor was in a Baptistic church. So I was in that one. And then after that, I was in the Assemblies of God for a season. And they taught me very strongly in every Sunday school class that there's a book of life where names are written, and there's then the book of works. But then in Psalms 139, it talks of another book. This book says it's written about what I will be, my destiny. There's a book about my destiny and the details about me. Look at it this way. God is not the devil. The devil is the one that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So if he's going to write a book about Armstrong Chege, this book is written about my health and strength and power and wisdom and anointing. It's written I will be good. It will not have anything negative about me. Psalms 139, verse 14 to 16, there it says there's a book written about you, and I think it's also the same book that God is talking about in Jeremiah chapter 1, when he tells Jeremiah, before you are born, I knew you, and I actually chose you. So there has been a book in heaven where Jeremiah is told, before you are born, I knew about you, I wrote about you. Amen. There is a book which cover says the name of Armstrong Chege in heaven. Now, what happens is this. God wants to partner with you so that now your life will get in line with what he has already ordained for you in that book in heaven. Amen. So all I need to do is launch his will and purpose through his word, because it's only through his word that you can know what to be and to do. So as I yield to the Holy Spirit, then my life will kind of conform to the book that's already in heaven. Somebody say amen. Amen. And if you read in your Bible in Ephesians, we are not going to read in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through 6, says that has been ordained, that yes, as I learn what God has written about me in heaven before the foundation of the earth, all I need is yield to his love and his grace, and I shall be what he wants me to be. Hallelujah. Can you say with me, I can be all that God wants me to be, because it's written in his book about me. Amen. You will be. You will be as you learn to yield to the Holy Spirit. Then you continue conforming to the image of Christ and also to that which God has ordained. Hallelujah. By his grace. But you see, that will be in partnership with you. That's what I'm talking about this morning. Because you see, and this is a problem that has been with some of our brothers who emphasize God's choice of humankind. God will not make you what he wants you to be if you don't yield. There's no way. You are not a robot. God made you in a way that you make your mind. And so it is through my yielding to the Holy Spirit, my obedience to the word of God, that God now will help me to yield to that which will bring Psalms 139 into my life. Amen. In other words, his choice of me is also based on my obedience to the voice of the Holy Spirit. His choice of me is based on how I respond to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Let me go quickly because of our time. Number two, so we have recognized his life, his love for us. The next thing is recognize that God is a holy and righteous Father. And his holiness is not just holiness. It's just like I said on Wednesday, it's holiness of the holiness. I like whenever the Israelites used to go to the inner court, the most holy place, in the Hebrew is called Kodesh Kodeshim, holy of holies. So our God is such a holy God, and so even though I know that he loves me and cares, I have to understand also that he does not fellowship with sin and sinfulness. Because that's how sometimes we have played with the grace of God. Because he loves us, and I'm loved the way I am, then I can do what. No, no, no! I have to realize, just like Isaiah realized, that chapter we have, and I'm not going to read it. You can read Isaiah 6, verse 1 to 5, where it talks about that God, Isaiah was given the revelation of God in heaven. He said, oh, my goodness, the holiness of God was everywhere. The glory of God filled the earth. And he says, as soon as he saw the holiness of God, the power, the glory, he fell down. He says, I was undone because I felt unclean. And he gives the reason. He says, because I had unclean lips and I live among unclean people. He confessed his sin. And if you read that story very well, you'll notice that the angel that was sent to touch him did not touch his feet, did not touch his hands. That angel that was sent to him touched his lips. Remember what he had just said? I have unclean lips and I live among people of unclean lips. God will not touch the area that is not needy. God knows where you need to be touched. Even this morning. Don't you worry about what he knows exactly what area you need. All you need is, Father, I need you. And he will come and touch you at the point of your need. Whatever it is, there are times, even my own life, I would say, Lord, if I find I'm not being used of the Lord in some area, I will cry for the Lord for that particular area. Because he will send the angels. The angels are still available. Angels of ministry are still available to be sent. And thank God, you realize that was before the death of Calvary. Now it's even better now. Because now the blood has been shed on Calvary Street like we saw on Wednesday. The Holy Spirit has come on the day of Pentecost. So you and I are living in way better times. Remember Jesus talked about it. He said the prophets and holy men of the past were longing for the times you are living in. Right this time, we always long and say, oh, I wish I was there to see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all those. Guess what? They were all longing to live in the time that you and I are living. We are living in better times than them because the blood has been shed. They were looking forward to Calvary. They were looking forward to Pentecost. Guess what? For you, it has happened. You can have that cleansing, that forgiveness. With the understanding that those guys did not have. And that's why I can emphasize the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. The scripture says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 to 9, but if we walk in the light as in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. We say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from unrighteousness. Listen, as you are, as you yield. Because like I said, God loves you, yes, where you are. But he does not want to leave you there. See, the fact he loves you does not mean that you stay as you are. No, he loves you. But he wants you now to move on to where he wants you to be. See, when the story of Chick-fil-A was being given by the pastor, he emphasized one thing, but I want to emphasize another part. I was like, this is a wonderful story. These guys, if you think of the graph, most of the Christian graph goes like this. You grow in the Lord, then you plateau, and you stay there for 2 years, and you say, oh, I'm not quite where I need to be, and then you pray a little bit, and you go a little bit like so. That is not the graph of Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A, every single year, their graph is like so. Growing in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love their growth. I love the kind of growth, and that's the kind of growth I wish and pray for each and every one of you this morning. Most of the other businesses, guess what they do? And even some of the Christians, they grow a little bit, then they go a little bit down. And then they come out a little bit, not quite there. Then a little bit, then a little bit. And you are growing, but not like Chick-fil-A. May God give us a Chick-fil-A growth this morning. Amen. Whereby it's not, it's the kind of, it says for 50, come on, not just 2 years. For 50 years, they've been growing from glory to glory. That is the idea that we need to have. You are not there yet, but at least continue growing in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And the Lord will help you to be the same. Hallelujah. Recognize also, and we are almost there. Recognize that God wants to use you. I had said that earlier. Recognize that he wants to use you. We know and we appreciate the ministries of the pastors. Pastor Paul, Pastor Drew, Pastor Tamara, all of you. But may God help you to recognize that God wants to use you individually. Not some other people. I want you to put the verse down because we can't read. I have said through and through that we are not able to read. If you can write Peter. This is 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9 to 12. And then quickly here, there's a verse I want to emphasize before I come to the end. I will not go to the all the verses I had said. In Ephesians, the verse I quoted about our salvation, verse 10 is kind of special. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before that we should walk in them. You are not saved by good works, but you are saved for good works. This morning and this week, as you go out wherever the Lord will send you, recognize that God wants to use you. Revival is going to come. But it's for those who will choose to be partners with God. Somebody say partners with God. He wants to use you as a partner. And he's not waiting for that one and the other one. Don't compare. Just as you are, the Lord wants to use you by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our time is up. But you'll continue in the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, messages, you continue in the Holy Ghost. What I mean is, if a seed is planted, you will definitely grow. Amen. Stand up, stand up, stand up. Be his workmanship. And I want you to notice that that is not something that you plan or it has already been scheduled in heaven. Your work is complete in heaven. When God looks at you, he looks at you from the future. That's why you need to be encouraged. He does not look into your failures and your whatever. No, he sees you as a successful guy. You are more than a conqueror. The scripture does not say you might be a conqueror. You are a conqueror. The Bible says God leads us into triumph, not failure. You are more than a conqueror. This revival that's about to come, I believe that every one of you will be involved. And not from a failure side, but from a victory side. Hallelujah. I will be there too. Hallelujah. Because the old men have to be there to dream their dreams. Amen. I'll be there. Well, some of you will be seeing the visions. Some of us will be there to dream the dreams. Because all of them will be by the Holy Ghost. Amen. And mighty things will happen. Let me tell you something. I can't even wait. My future is not dark at all. I believe that in this time, which I'm calling the Kairos moment of time, something spectacular is going to happen. Signs and wonders and miracles start happening because of those that will learn to walk by faith and to yield to the Holy Spirit. Let's bow down for prayer quickly. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you because you are kind, you are gracious, you are merciful. We are exactly where we need to be in your presence. And we thank you that you do not have other people. It is us you have called. It's us that you have chosen. It is us that you are elevating to the next level by your glory and your power. This morning as I pray and we have to finish, I want to ask those of you who felt, as I was sharing, I don't know which area, but you felt the Holy saying, that's you. You need to take that step, and you don't want to be like me when I was all settled and feeling like I'm okay, and you just feel like I need something more of God in a particular area, and you want me to pray for you. As I pray, lift up your hand, I'll pray for you right now. Precious Father, in Jesus' name. Look at these hands of your children. I speak mighty, mighty breakthroughs upon their lives. In Jesus' holy name, I speak healing of the body, of the soul, of the mind, of the ministry. Lord, if it is the lips that need to be touched, if it is the feet that need to be touched, if it's the ears that need to be touched, whatever area in our hearts that needs to be touched, touch us, Lord, and start molding us by your power and your grace, so that you make us fit into your purpose, into your will, into Psalms 139, verse 14 to 16. We are going to get right into the book that was destined, planned, and scheduled for us. Lord, I speak that healing. I speak next level. I speak breakthrough for these, your sons and your daughters. And we thank you in advance for the miracles. We accept and we acknowledge that we are in the Kairos moment of God. And we give you glory, honor, and praise. We receive it now. We receive it now. We receive it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, let's lift up our hands for a minute. Let's give God some praise. Can you praise God right where you're at? Just begin to thank God. Oh, begin to thank God. Let me ask you something real quick. How many have an area where you need to see breakthrough in your life? That word was for you. That word was for you. Amen. You know, people go to stadiums, and you know they'll wear all kind of blue hair and red hair and have all their gear on. That team ain't even gonna, their team is gonna lose. Do you know what I'm talking about? But they're walking it before it ever happened. They're walking like, man, we're gonna win. What was Armstrong, what was that verse you quoted about the victory? God walks us. Do you remember the wording on that? Walks us into the victory. What?
Triumph.
Yeah, triumph. What goes before that? He causes us to triumph. Man. See, imagine if you went into that stadium and you knew your team was going to win. That's who we are. We know we're going to win. You know what I mean? So who cares if you got a flat tire today? Amen. Who cares if you got a little, you know, crack egg in your omelet this morning? Who cares? Amen. And listen, for some of you, it's not a cracked egg. It's something that in your mind, it's catastrophic. But how many know, in God's mind, it's not catastrophic? And let's step up to where God is. Amen. Just lift up your hands. Father, we thank you for every person here. We thank you that we have the mind of Christ. Somebody say, I have the mind of Christ. I'm going to think the way God thinks about me. God has chosen me. I'm his choice to fight. God wants to use us mightily. Let me say one more thing. I'm going to discuss you. You can put your hands down. I'll try to get it the second service. I was outside in my patio several years ago, and the Holy Spirit just started to speak to me. And as soon as I could, I got a pen. And I'll try to have that prophecy. But as you were speaking about all those people, one of the things that in this prophecy, I'll have to try to have it in the second service, but I said something like the Holy Spirit revealed to me, it's going to be just the ordinary Joes that will be used of God. And you have to understand, you say, but Pastor, I can't speak well. I'm not educated. I don't have a lot of money. You know what? My hair goes half wrong most of the time. God says, oh, you're just the person I'm looking for. You're just the person I'm looking for. Father, I'm going to speak a blessing. How many want me to speak a blessing over you? I speak a blessing to all these people. I speak a blessing to all these people. I thank you that we are preparing ourselves for what you're going to do. We are going to be part of the ushers that usher these people in. This church is going to be one of the churches that God uses in a crazy, mighty way. Because we hunger and thirst for righteousness. We want to be used by you. We don't want to be on the sideline. I thank you. I call these people blessed, healed from the top of their head to the bottom of their toes. I call their families blessed, their kids blessed, their grandkids blessed. I thank you, Father, for a great week and a great month and a great day as we walk in the presence of the Holy Spirit today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.